A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones. As promised, big boy Greg Bedard giving us a Wednesday stint here on Felger and Mads. 10 questions coming up this hour. But to you, as promised, Bob and Wareham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, hi. I would just like to point this out to Murray that I think he's a little bit crazy for thinking that the Patriots and Bill Belichick, the team with the winningest franchise over the last 20 years, is going to tank it. Is he really serious about that? There's no way in heck Bill Belichick would tank it. That's all I wanted to say.
Murray?
Yeah, and that's how I felt going into that Jets game, which I thought they would kill the Jets. Then I realized the Patriots are even worse than I thought that they were halfway through that game, and I was hoping, like most rational people, that they would lose, and then we could have a real conversation about them getting the next quarterback for the next 10 years.
And now that's over.
Yeah, now that's over. So enjoy being a middler. I heard Joe Murray rightfully refer to them as the Atlanta Hawks now, that middling that they have been there in the NBA for the last 25 years. That's what the Patriots are going to be in the NFL for until further notice.
Okay, but how about all this data, Murray? And, you know, just the fact that most of the championship quarterbacks come outside the top five, not in the top five.
In the last 20 years? Is that true?
Yeah.
It's not, actually.
Oh, it is?
No, the last 20 years.
I mean, didn't we go through the whole list yesterday?
You have to draft in the first round. Brady's the anomaly.
No, I understand.
Russell Wilson's the anomaly.
I said top five. So, yes, first round, absolutely. I'm not banking on drafting the next quarterback in the sixth round or even the third round. But the top five? I mean, look at it. It's just they haven't come from the top five. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble on that, but they haven't.
I think you would increase your chances just being somewhere where they would be ninth, 10th, fine. Top five, okay, fine. But still in the first, they're not going to end up drafting a quarterback anyway. He's going to end up coming out of that first round and getting two twos, three threes, whatever. So now it's moot.
a bunch of hybrid defensive backs, yeah, that can't play.
Enjoy more players from Lenore Ryan.
Tim, two-way tight ends.
Tim and Nashua. Go ahead, Tim.
Two quick questions for Greg. Greg, very disturbing watching Cam Newton's footwork in the pocket. I don't know who is telling him not to, you know, move his feet a lot more, but it's very disturbing. And my second thing is on defense. Do you think that Bill made a mistake signing both McCourty twins? I think they are just playing horrendous.
Okay, Greg?
On Cam's footwork, you know, I can assure you that Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish are trying to coach Cam the right way. It's baked into him. This is who he's always been. He's always been this type of thrower. He's always had problems with his mechanics, especially his lower body. His ball carriage has been different. That's just the way he is. It's baked in. You're just now trying to navigate that the best way that you can. As far as the other question about the McCourties, yes, on Jason, and I've been there for 2 years. I mean, you know, last year at roster cutdowns, I was questioning Bill keeping way too many older guys, and you can include, you know, Jason McCourty and Landon Roberts and Daron Harmon and guys like that, where, you know, I thought they needed to get younger and cheaper last year. That was the time after the Super Bowl to do that, and they didn't do it, and they ended up doing it a year after. But as far as Devin, I do not agree with you. I just think this is a situation where I still think Devin McCourty's a good player. He's now playing the Daron Harmon role, which is, you know, he's just supposed to be the deep safety, where I thought he was more effective, and really where he played well in recent years is sort of that robber lurker type safety, and allowed him to be a little bit more aggressive, selective double teams on third downs. Right now, the Patriots can't even really get to that because they're so bad on defense. They can't get to those situations where they have these game plan looks where it's, all right, third and eight, this is what we're going to do. All of a sudden, we're going to bring the safety down and we're going to trap the quarterback when he's trying to look for George Kittle. The Patriots can't get to that because they can't get to third down. Everything's third and two. So I still think Devin McCourty's a good player. Is he where he was? Probably not. But he's still a good player. It's just a different position for him this year.
I mean, there were rumors about him retiring 2 years ago, okay? And you know what? The more I think about it, because, Greg, you said you've been on this for a couple of years with Jason, I think the whole thing is a leverage play to keep Jason in the league. I do. I think that, if you don't sign my brother, I'm walking. I'm convinced of it.
It feels like it's a package deal. Allen in Watertown. Go ahead, Allen.
I had a quick question. Would you be opposed to drafting two quarterbacks in this next draft?
No.
Nope.
Fine. Draft two.
Hell yeah.
I mean, is that the point? I mean, I'll draft him. I'll draft him until I find the guy.
Frankly, it kind of ended up working it out for the Redskins there for a little bit, right? When they ended up doing RG3.
Yeah, good point, Murray.
And Kirk Cousins
in
2012.
Right. First and third rounds.
If the Patriots did something like that, I'd love it.
Yeah, no problem there.
Yeah, I like that idea. Actually, I like it a lot. Create some competition in there too. Make them work for it.
We've got, but in the meantime, I'm still signing a veteran. My plan is draft, but also bring in a guy. Garoppolo, would be at top of the list, but someone like that can play competent quarterback.
Murray's on to something with that. That whole logic.
Yeah.
And a veteran guy, too, because think about it. If they end up drafting, call it 15, and some of these other guys, whether it's Zach Wilson at BYU or the kid Trask at Florida, like some of these guys are projected to go second, third, fourth round. Take two of them. You want to use your first round pick on a linebacker, a defensive lineman, or whatever? Fine. So Bill can be happy. Fine. We'll keep him happy. Then take two quarterbacks.
No problem. Here's Jay in Middleton, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jay.
The kid from BYU is going in the top 10. But anyway, I was calling regarding your methodology. I'm glad you just brought that up, Mike, because that's the way I've been thinking about it since last week when you brought it up in terms of bringing in the veteran. Then bringing in a kid, let him percolate on the bench a little, get coached up. And the more I'm thinking about it, does that even work anymore? Do we have any examples of that working anymore?
Because
I came up with two.
Well, the best quarterback in the league.
Rodgers and Garoppolo.
Mahomes.
Mahomes
was a top 10 pick.
He sat his first year.
But he was a top 10 pick, Mike.
So
His team didn't stay respectable, stay in the playoff hunt.
Yes, they did. They were 10-6 or 11-5.
Not if they picked in the top 10, they didn't.
No, they traded up a little bit.
Okay, but you've got to get into the top 10 to get your quarterback is the point. There are no examples of a team picking somebody in the second half of the first round, letting them sit, and then he becomes a championship-level quarterback a year or two later.
Well, hold on. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and who was the other
Jackson.
One?
Garoppolo. Who was in the process of playing himself out of a job.
Okay, I'm having a hard time figuring out your point. So you want to get into the top five to draft the guy? Look, Pat Mahomes, the year, I gave this to you yesterday, and I don't want to look it up on the fly, but Kansas City, I think, was in the playoffs the year before they drafted Pat Mahomes, or they were 10-6, 11-5, something like that. Same with Pittsburgh. They were 10-5 when they were 10-6 or something like that. When they drafted, or maybe it was 6-10. Either way, when they drafted Ben Roethlisberger, they did not tank and go to the bottom of the league. Okay, they stayed in the middle, they stayed competitive, and they found their guy. There's way more examples of that than a team tanking and taking guy one overall and having that be the guy. Way more examples.
Mike, the season before I just looked it up. The season before they drafted Mahomes, they went 12-4.
Thank you,
Kansas City. Then with Mahomes on the bench, they went 10-6. They got rid of Alex Smith, and then he became the starter.
So there you go. That's
So they went 12-4, and to answer the caller's point, they did move up. They probably had someone else's pick from a trade.
Where was Mahomes? He was drafted 8?
I think he was 10th overall, if I remember
10th.
Right.
Okay, so
yep.
Does that count, caller? I mean, some of these teams that have found their quarterback have just been smart, and they haven't tanked, and it's the dumb, sucky teams that need to tank and get that pick. The smart teams can figure it out. Somewhere in the middle. Seattle did it. Kansas City did it. Pittsburgh did it. Green Bay did it. There's a bunch of teams that have done it. Okay. Don't you want to be that team? Why wouldn't you not want to be that team versus the Bengals that need to tank and then get the first overall pick? Like, I don't get that. I don't get the want to be that. as opposed to being a competitive, smart team that just figures it out from the middle? Why? There's so many examples of teams doing that. This isn't the NBA. The NBA is purgatory. I agree. The middle of the NBA is death. That's that league. This league, there are a million examples of teams that figure it out right from the middle. Like, what's wrong with you?
So I was just looking up the Mahomes deal. They traded up from 22. They traded up from, in fact, maybe even lower, 27th, and included another first the subsequent year to go all the way up to 10 and use Buffalo's pick.
So they were just smart about it. They didn't have to intentionally lose games to find their guy. And by the way, if you want to trade up to find your guy, I'm fine with that. I'm fine drafting a quarterback in the top 10. Go draft him in the top 10. Just don't lose games intentionally to get there. That is what dumb, dysfunctional, the worst franchises in the league do. That's what they do.
Again, they went 12-4. They had the 27th pick. They threw in another first the next year and a third, and they went up and got Mahomes.
Good God, it gets me frustrated. Not nearly as frustrated as I'm going to be coming up next when we do 10 questions around the league with the big boy. Don't go anywhere.
Yes.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
They say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, I'm late as usual. Got to be on time. Billy behind the glass today. What do we got for buzzer options?
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
That's too bad, Bill. Next.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
I'm with you, Chase. Next.
Just like eating an elephant, I'd say one bite at a time.
Next.
Don't find fault, find a remedy.
That's our buddy Tony Robbins, yes?
All management is the management of promises.
Excellent.
Make sure you follow my giant hands and watermelon-shaped head.
All right, one more.
You fraud. You epic royal freaking fraud. Yo, you fraud. What a fraud. What a fraud.
All right, Maz is not talking about you, Greg. He's talking about Bill Belichick. All right, hit any of them. Go ahead.
You fraud. You epic royal freaking fraud. Yo, you fraud. What a fraud. What a fraud.
Sorry, midseason awards. MVP, give me your order. 1, 2, 3. And if there is no quarterback in your 1, 2, 3, give me your top rated non-quarterback as well.
Wilson, Mahomes, Rodgers. And my top non-quarterback is Aaron Donald, because if the Rams didn't have him, their defense would be horrible.
Same three guys, different order. Wilson, Rodgers, Mahomes. Dalvin Cook would be my MVP. I know they're only 3-5, but I think they're playing better and they're going to get in the playoffs, I bet.
Same three, different order. Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, and I'm with Greg. It would be Aaron Donald. He's an absolute force.
Okay, I think Alvin Kamara is getting some juice there.
Oh, yeah, right. Good one.
MVP as a non-quarterback. I'm surprised Rodgers is in your top three. Okay, next.
Make sure you follow my giant hands and watermelon-shaped head.
Number 9. Who's been the biggest disappointment in the league over the first half? Player.
Cam Newton. I thought that he would be better at this point, and depending on exactly how the COVID thing went down, was that self-inflicted? Was it not? It totally interrupted his development, and it interrupted the development of the team. And he should be better at this point. They shouldn't have to be spoon-feeding him the offense in week 7 and week 8. So for me, it's Newton.
What a great answer.
So I thought Greg was going to pick one of these two guys. So I'll give you both. Ezekiel Elliott and Lamar Jackson. Those two guys. All the hype with Zeke. He's done squat. And Lamar Jackson, to me, is probably number one. He's the guy I would have picked if Greg picked someone else.
Phillip Rivers, trash. And when he's been bad, he's been awful and cost in indie games. And all he needs to do is be consistently decent, and he can't even do that. He's a washed-up bum.
Next.
All management is the management of promises.
Number 8, who's been the most improved team, Greg?
Carolina.
I think
Matt Rule's done a great job. I don't think they're overly talented. I don't think Bridgewater is overly talented. They haven't had McCaffrey and haven't, you know, really missed him with that. I think his name's Davis, the backup running back. I just think Carolina, they're a tough out right now. Like, you don't want to face them. I think is it the Bucks that have to play them mm-hmm. this week?
Yeah.
That's a tough game for them. Every game's a tractor pull against the Panthers. Rule's done a really nice job.
Greg does not want to give the Bills any credit. I think he's at war with Bills Mafia. I think there's a thing there back and forth. I think there's intentionally the Bills.
Oh, they're coming up. They're coming up.
Okay. Go ahead.
So they were good last year, though, right? I mean, they were great, but they were good.
I'm saying Greg won't give them any credit. Go.
Oh, yeah. Miami. I went with Miami. I think Miami's come up. They're 10-7 in the last 17 games. He's doing a great job down there.
Cardinals already matched last season's win total. Kyler Murray's a stud. Only NFC West team that hasn't lost a divisional game. Cardinals.
Next.
Don't find fault. Find a remedy.
Okay, number 7. Who's been the biggest fraud team in the NFL, Greg?
Bills.
See? He's at war with the Bills.
Go ahead. They're going to win the division. And depending on the matchup, of course, because who knows who they draw. But I am looking for them to be one and done again because they're just not that good. And it's not just Allen. I think Allen has improved. I don't like their offensive line. They had a lot of injuries there, and their defense is trash. They cannot stop anybody. And if you have to let Josh Allen loose, at some point in time, it's going to blow up in your face. The past couple of teams, like the Seahawks, they were so bad on defense, they couldn't get the stop to put the pressure on Allen when he wanted to give him the game. Same with the Patriots. And I think that's coming in the playoffs.
Green Bay. I look at them the same way as I have in the past. It's all the quarterback. If the quarterback doesn't play at the top of his game, they're not going to beat you any other way. Their defense sucks. The receivers aren't good, you know, other than Devontae Adams. I feel like that whole team is two players.
I co-sign.
There's one clear answer here. Tampa Bay. You put them in a primetime slot, grab the diapers, because here comes the pants crapping. Too dumb, too undisciplined. Not even Tom Brady can stop the Bucks from being the Bucks.
Wow. Next, Billy.
It's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
Who's your favorite team to watch? Most entertaining team for you, Greg?
Not the Patriots. The Chiefs. Anytime they're on, anytime Mahomes has the ball, I'm watching.
I mean, I say Kansas City too, but I put a second one down because I knew he would pick them. Seattle. I just think the quarterback is terrific. He's so good to watch. Because, again, there's another team. You want to talk about a fraud team because they rely so much on one player? That's another one, Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, because Wilson's endlessly entertaining, and that defense is bad enough that every game is a crazy shootout.
Okay, tool bag question.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
Okay, not Chase. Well, maybe. Who's been the biggest tool
maybe.
Bag? Who's been the biggest tool bag of the first half?
Goodell. For their lack of a COVID plan, you know, any sort of the arrogance of this organization to think that they were just going to skate through in the worst timing for COVID without adjusting their schedule, without cutting it down, without building in bye weeks, anything. It's Goodell.
Michael Thomas, Saints. He was also on my list of most disappointing players. He got hurt early in the year, didn't play half the season, finally comes back and cold cocks a teammate in practice, and the coach suspends him for the game. What a tool.
I will go with Bill Belichick for the 2 weeks of nonstop whining about the lack of practice, followed by farting in the face of sports radio, and then going on the very format that he hates to further whine about the state of his team because, oh, wow, the salary cap. I thought it was unbecoming and a low moment for him. I go with Bill.
Good one, Murray. Next.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate the opportunity.
No problem, Bill. It feels like there's trouble again in Tampa, Greg, with Arians once more calling out Brady after losing to the Saints. It's Arians versus Brady. Who's more to blame right now?
I'm going to go with Arians just because it looks like, I don't know, did they take the controls away from his team? What's he do on the sideline? Like, every time they show him there, he's just, like, standing there looking stunned and surprised. It's like, you know, hide the car keys from Nana or something like that. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Brady's a diva, but he's having a better year than the coach. It's Arians.
Yeah, Arians. He should be living on a beach in Mexico, hawking crap tequila named after his hats. I hate him.
Next.
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
So then who would be a good head coach for Brady down there in Tampa, Greg?
I mean, I got to go with McDaniels because they know each other. They both see things the same way. I think the most success immediately for Brady, it's got to be McDaniels.
Bill O'Brien. Ugh. Bill, and I know that, remember, he yelled at Brady in Philadelphia. I think it was Philadelphia against the Eagles. He aired him out on the sidelines. I think Brady needs someone that's going to hold him accountable now.
I liked Jay Stu's rumor of it being Dante Scarnecchia. Accomplished, respected, brings the Patriots pedigree without the a-hole know-it-all attitude.
Okay, so to me, I've changed my mind on it. It's Vrabel. I think Brady would do better.
Good one.
You know, with a defensive guy or a, you know, full team guy, because Brady's got the offense. He doesn't need the offensive coordinator. Brady's the offensive coordinator. He needs someone to do everything else. Vrabel. Vrabel's the guy for Brady. Next.
You fraud. You epic royal freaking fraud. Yo, you fraud. What a fraud. What a fraud.
Once again, Greg Mazz is not talking about you. There was a classic uniform slash brand matchup last week with the Steelers at the Cowboys. You watch that one? That's just a great visual.
Yeah,
it just totally feel like your childhood.
Takes you back to the 70s.
Is there another matchup that compares to that uniform-wise? You just look at it and you're just like, ooh, there I am, an eight-year-old boy. I mean, is there any, you know, what would be the closest matchup that would compare to that Steelers-Cowboys?
Packers-Bears.
So there isn't anyone that compares.
There isn't, right? There isn't, because that's not a national appeal.
I had two on my list. One was the one that Greg said. The others is Raiders-Chiefs. Something about those Raiders-Chiefs game to me, and I know they're old AFL, but those games to me were like, but that's it. It's those two. I couldn't come up with another.
Yeah, I like it's when it's the Raiders at the Chiefs, but there's nothing like Cowboys-Steelers. That looked awesome the other day.
Giants-Redskins? Like, I don't know.
Not the
well,
same.
If the Giants wear those throwbacks like they did.
You know, that has the national appeal. There's nothing like that.
I always liked Eagles-Giants the way it looked.
I mean, those two teams could blow chunks, but you see those uniforms running around out there, it's like, So no wonder it had the national slot. All right, last one.
Make sure you follow my giant hands. And watermelon-shaped head.
Give me a postseason dark horse team there, Greg.
Dolphins. I think that with that defense there and the way that they're playing, and they have talent at all three levels on that defense, and if Tua can come along, and also the ability that he gives them to run and pass, they don't have to be quite. They don't have to be efficient in the passing game to move the ball. I think the Dolphins have a chance to be a tough out in the playoffs if they get there.
I went with. I also had Miami on there, but Arizona's another one. Do you realize that Kyler Murray's the eighth leading rusher in the league? Like, you know, he's dynamic. Arizona would be scary to me because of the quarterback if I had to play them.
Miami, 10-7 over the last 17 games. Maz said it, too, is just going to gain confidence. Defense is legit.
Okay.
Dolphins.
Thus concludes 10 questions. Update with Murray, then right back to you. Don't go.
Roadnizer Home Services has been crafting an elite team of technicians since 1928 who service thousands of happy customers. So join their team, become elite, and launch your career. Open positions from HVAC service and installations technicians to plumbing technicians, drivers, and office staff. Roadnizer Home Services offers aggressive pay, full benefit packages, including company match 401ks. Go to careers.roadnizer.com to learn what opportunities await with the winning team at Roadnizer Home Services, and do it today.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this, at a deeper level, is this the residual impact of the AB power play? Because as you were saying, you put the tight ends out there, you run the ball, that helps kickstart the offense, you get into play action, you start moving the ball down the field, you score some points, you have some longer drives, you don't go three and out. Now they got AB, so they got to go with three receiver sets to get AB on the field because Tommy wants AB on the field, Tommy wants his buddy out there, Tommy wants his reclamation project on the field, and you see what happens. I wonder if this is just a sign of a deeper tug of war between Arians, who didn't want Antonio Brown. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
He did not want Antonio Brown. Is this a deeper back and forth between the two of them? Maybe it is.
Mike Florio with an interesting point there, because you know, Bruce Arians, once again, even on Monday, a day after the game, throwing subtle little shots at Brady like he did in week one. And this is what Florio's saying, is this, that sort of interplay between Arians and Brady, is it a result of Brady getting in his guy and taking over the offense and that sort of back and forth? You have a thought on that, Greg, before I go back to the phones?
I think that there has been tug of war going on between Brady and Arians the whole year. That game the other day for Brady, I don't know if this is right. It's probably not right. But the feeling I had was that Arians got all these, you know, weapons back, whether it was Godwin, they got Antonio Brown in the lineup, and he wanted to air it out with his type of offense, which was deep down the field. And yes, Brady has been a much better deep ball passer this year. You could trot out all those stats. It's not his comfort level. It's not where Tom Brady's best. And it seemed to me like Brady was just like, screw you, Bruce. You know, all of a sudden you move the offense in that direction. We were doing fine. Why change it up? And Brady was just, you know, throwing the ball all over the place and trying to make a point to Arians.
I mean, to me, I think there's a direct relation to Antonio Brown. There's no way you can tell me that Arians wanted Brown. No way. And I know that Arians said, oh, this had nothing to do with Tom Brady when they actually brought Brown in. Bull crap. It had everything to do with Brady. And now there's this, you know, this spitting match over Mike Evans. Because, you know, and that's what precipitated the whole thing, is that Arians was asked, why isn't Evans being targeted as much? You know, and I think the reporter even said, your best receiver. And Arian said, you know, is he not open? And Arian said, oh, no, he's open.
He just wasn't targeted.
And I went back.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have something on that. But
I went back and looked at some of the plays in the first half of that game, and there were a few where Evans was open. I mean, and Brady either never looked at him, or there were a couple where I think Brady saw a double team before the snap and said, I'm not going that way. So he eliminated him, you know, pre-snap. But, Greg, you know more than I do when it comes to that sort of stuff. But to me, it looked like Evans was open on at least a few of those plays.
Yeah, and look, I've watched a fair amount of their film this year. I have never thought that – no, you could throw out all the Mike Evans stats you want this year in terms of, you know, all his one-yard touchdowns and things like that. I have watched them. I have watched Brady for years. They do not have a good relationship on the field. And I have talked to people who have spoken to Brady, and not anything specific regarding that in terms of there's active friction between the two. But I could just tell you, and this does not take a rocket scientist to figure out if you have watched Brady over the years, Mike Evans is not his type of receiver. He's just not. He doesn't get off of man coverage very well. He plays much older than he actually is. He's a bit slow, and he's not very cerebral. He breaks off routes all the time. That opening game when Brady threw that interception and he broke off a route, he does that at least once a game. And though he does not trust Mike Evans to do what's right, Mike Evans is going to do what he wants to do. And I'm sorry, there are issues. I think that Antonio Brown is in there to take more of Evans' snaps, and I think it's a campaign by Brady to push it in that direction by the time of the playoffs. And I think there's going to be active friction between Brady and Evans at some point this year. There's certainly, it's there on the field. They do not fit well together.
And Evans knows it. Evans knows that Brady doesn't like him.
I love active friction. Oh, that's great. Okay, bring the active friction.
Evans is valuable in one place and one place only, and that's the fade in the end zone or the slant.
Or fantasy football.
That's it. But you know what? He's a soft receiver. He's soft. I understand what Greg's saying. That it's not his kind of guy. He won't catch the ball in traffic. Not really. I mean, again, a slant down at the goal line, maybe.
On the sideline, he will.
Yeah.
He'll fight a guy on the sideline where there's no one on the other side, but over the middle, things like that.
No shot.
All right, your phones, again, as promised. Here's Mike and Brighton. Go.
Hey, guys. Hey, Greg. I wanted to ask, I have two quick questions. One about the draft, Belichick in the draft, and one on Newton. What is going on with him in the draft, and who's in charge? Who's in charge of the scouting? This has been going on for years. It's bananas.
Okay, two on Newton.
And on Newton, he can't make decisions. Mike.
Okay, I just have to cut you off because we're up against it, but I want Greg's thoughts on both of those. Is there a commonality to their recent draft struggles, Greg?
Yeah, it's Bill going rogue more and more. He doesn't He's not quite invested in what the scouts are saying. I've been told that he does not go, or this might have changed in recent years, but he does not attend many scout meetings. He mostly reads reports and talks to college coaches, and those people that really can influence him are dwindling. Certainly the people who know what they're talking about, maybe Shiano being back will help him. But that's been an issue, and mostly it's Bill. All the decisions are Bill. So you can rail against Nick Caserio, you can rail against their scouts, but I'm telling you, they do a good job. Bill makes all the decisions. So whatever he wants to do, whatever player catches his eye, whatever he hears from a college coach, he's going to pick that guy. In terms of Cam Newton, yeah, his decision making needs to be better, but it can get there. And he does take a while. That's the way he's been. But I do think the Patriots can bring him along if he finishes the season well and they have a full offseason.
Greg, can you say that again? Belichick doesn't go to scout meetings?
That's what I was told. Yeah, certainly at certain stages of his tenure, yes, that's true. That I've been told that he doesn't attend, the meetings where everyone gets in a room and discusses. Maybe he's been to some of them. I can tell you he hasn't been to all of them, but that's sort of the way he operates. I think he keeps his circle tight. So if Casario's there and he gets the consensus, I don't necessarily think that's a humongous thing on why a humongous problem if Bill's not there. But certainly there's a disconnect between the head coach and the scouting apparatus there.
Which makes you wonder why they were so horny to bring back Nick Caserio. If Bill doesn't really listen to these guys, and if he felt that
comfort,
I just wonder, like, why bring him back? Why the fight with Houston? Why all this nonsense if you don't listen to the guys?
I don't know how much of a fight there was. I mean, look, the way I was told is that Houston made a request, but they couldn't. They knew full well that they couldn't do it. The Texans and Easterby thought that the Patriots would just, find it in their, better angels to, all right, go ahead, Nick. You have a chance to run your own shop. Go ahead and listen. And the Patriots were like, go pound sand. You're not doing that. But I think Caserio wanted to come back. I don't think he really ever wanted to go to Houston. I don't think he wants to run his own shop. I think he realizes he's better at a number two, sort of managing the scouting staff, putting together the reports. That's his best role as far as it, as opposed to being out there at the forefront and being the guy.
Okay, let's get to our long commercial-free segment coming up next. We'll wrap it up with Greg, get his thoughts on the Ravens game coming up on Sunday night, so don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. Felger on Mavs, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
This autumn, Rodenizer Home Services wants you to fall in love with your home. Get it? Whether it's your kids playing in a leaf pile, carving pumpkins, or watching the Pats game, family time at home has never been more important. So, let Rodenizer keep your family warm and comfortable by taking advantage of one of the many fall specials, including heating system checks as low as $69. Plus, Rodenizer offers indoor air quality solutions, outlets and lighting for home office setups, new water heater installations, even full kitchen and bathroom remodels. Celebrate fall comfortably. Call Rodenizer today or book online at rodenheiser.com.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
How have you seen Lamar sort of evolve as a passer inside the pocket? Obviously, when he first started, they liked to get him on the move. Now I'm just curious what you're seeing of him as a passer inside the pocket.
Yeah, I think he did a good job of that last year. He does a good job. He's got a good touch on the deep ball, sees the field well, and he makes good decisions.
Of his teams, as you go film study, sort of defending him differently, they haven't had a ton of, or he hasn't had a ton of those big running plays like he did a year ago.
Well, he's got a few of them. Watch the Philadelphia game. Pittsburgh, just because they're not 80-yard touchdowns, I mean, he's got plenty of, 20-yarders, scrambles for first downs, and you have to respect him. That opens up things for other people as well, so I don't think he's lost anything in terms of running the ball.
Belichick on Lamar Jackson today. Feels like he's come back to earth a little bit this season, Greg. What are you seeing? What are you seeing in him, and what are you seeing in this matchup?
Yeah, I think that teams have, anytime teams have an offseason to study up on the new sort of thing in the NFL, and they've done that the past two offseasons, they're going to be better off. And I think teams have caught up to the Ravens a little bit in terms of what they're doing. One year, you know, the first year when Lamar Jackson became the starter about halfway through the season, you know, they got upended by the Chargers because the Chargers were small, sort of like the Patriots are right now, and they were able to do that. Then they adjusted and they went with a lot more tight ends. All of a sudden they had like three or four that could play. How come the Patriots can't get one or two of those? But anyways, so they changed the nature of their offense with Greg Roman in terms of, the tight ends were able to be tougher matchup pieces. So this offseason with COVID and everything, teams had a chance to study more of what the Ravens did. Lamar Jackson actually just went on Rich Eisen's show and said that teams are calling out the Ravens plays to them. So there is an issue there that is causing them some problems. And I think that, you know, the Ravens are going to need to adjust. And look, they're only going to be as good as Lamar Jackson is as a passer. And he's pretty good at times, but they have some issues there. They've also had a lot of injury issues. I don't know what Ronnie Stanley's, the left tackle's status is. I don't know if he's out for the season or not. I haven't looked at their roster yet. You had the guard that retired, Yanda. They haven't really replaced him, so there have been some issues. But this is still a damn good football team.
Yeah, to me, I think you gotta chase him. You know, when I say don't chase him, I mean don't run upfield. You know, mush rush, just sit back. You want to give him 6 yards, give him six. Where Jackson kills you is you start creating space. Now all of a sudden he's getting 20 and 50. Like I just don't feel like he's broken off those long runs. His average is down, and if you can turn him into a pocket player even a little bit, he's not as good.
Okay, Greg, chances for the Patriots this Sunday night against Baltimore and the rest of the season in general. Do they have a push in them, do you think?
Very slim for this week. I think the chances are greater that they get run off the field on Sunday night. I just think that we're going to see such a difference in the team speed between both teams. It's going to be really stark, and I think, you know, come Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be talking about how slow the Patriots have become. And what's interesting is, you know, I did this story a few years ago on Ozzie Newsome, and there was when Brian Billick got fired, and they had a losing season, and Ozzie came to the Christmas party, and he said to everybody, you know, was celebrating and whatnot, and Ozzie was in a bad mood. And he just stood up in the middle of this holiday party and he was pissed off. And he's like, a good man's about to get fired because we didn't do our jobs in personnel. We've gotten really old and slow overnight, and that's our fault. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about on Monday and Tuesday with the Patriots. That being said, I do not think the season's lost. I think they're going to be in every game to finish the season. It's just, can they get Cam Newton and can they get the run defense to a point where they could get the defense in third and long and throw into the secondary with real pressure? And can Cam Newton be freed up to make a few more plays? They do those things, they have a chance. Do, Greg, I think it's great? No, but I think they do.
Would you say there's a path?
Primrose.
Would you say there's a path for the Patriots and the playoffs?
I do. I'm still holding on to it. I think the division was lost with Buffalo's win, but I think there's a path to the wild card. I think they need to get to 10-6 though. So outside of the Ravens, 9-7 is brutal.
Greg, would you say that this week the Patriots have a chance to gain momentum?
I think they have a chance to get their asses beat.
10-6. Oh boy. I'm not giving you 10-6.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
No. This is about scoreboard watching. This is about getting help. This is about watching games around the league. Something you haven't had to do around here for a long time, which can be kind of fun though. Welcome to how the rest of the world lives. You're rooting for Tennessee on Thursday night because you want Indy to come back down to earth. Who does Cleveland got? Cleveland's got someone you want them losing. You're going to be scoreboard watching. You're going to be scoreboard watching, and you.
Nobody's doing that except you lunatics. What? Scoreboard watching.
What's wrong with that? That's fun.
Oh, yay.
Oh, my God, Murray, you are so spoiled. It's unbelievable.
This team blows.
They're not good. They're not good, but 9-7. Don't give me 10-6, Greg. There's no shot of that. They're gonna lose Sunday, and then I'll give them one more loss. I mean, I think I'm being kind saying 6-2 the rest of the way, but 10-6, forget that. Jesus, one more loss and it's Sunday night, then they're gonna run the table? What are you smoking? Like, I don't see.
I'm not saying they're gonna do that, Mike.
I'm saying
it's somewhat possible, like 1 in a million.
If that's
but
their path,
I just don't.
Yeah, if that's their path,
I just don't think
9-7
gets them in there. Well, I just don't think 9-7 gets them in.
Well, it better. 9-7 better get them in because they ain't doing 10-6. All right, Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, buddy.
See you, bud.
See you, big boy. Big boy Wednesday is in the books. Read Greg on Boston Sports Journal or give him a subscription if you would. All right, we have not hit on Alex Cora's reintroduction to the Boston Red Sox yesterday. We have a few quick thoughts on that. If you have any leftover thoughts from it, you can join us at 617-779-0985. We'll get to it after Murray's 90-second update. As usual, no commercials.
This autumn, Roadnizer Home Services wants you to fall in love with your home. Get it? Whether it's your kids playing in a leaf pile, carving pumpkins, or watching the Pats game, family time at home has never been more important. So let Rodenheiser keep your family warm and comfortable by taking advantage of one of the many fall specials, including heating system checks as low as $69. Plus, Rodenheiser offers indoor air quality solutions, outlets and lighting for home office setups, new water heater installations, even full kitchen and bathroom remodels. Celebrate fall comfortably. Call Rodenheiser today or book online at Rodenheiser.com.